I invite you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. I trust a familiar passage with you. And we want to extract a point of thought from this passage. It's one of my favorite passages. The appeal, the cry of the Lord unto sinners, unto his children. And he declares this. You know, when mankind, as men, women, boys, and girls, when we don't know about the Lord, when we have not a clue who God is, when we don't have any understanding of what God has said, we don't have any understanding about the promises of God, we have no understanding about God being the Creator. We just don't know anything about God. God can't be found because we just don't know. We have no basis to even understand how to find God. Now, the Scripture says that the creation and all the things that we can see speak to us about there is one greater than us. But there's no finding Him. There's a knowledge there that He exists, but we have not a clue who He is. But then when the Lord speaks, He tells us He's the Creator. He tells us that we're sinners because our father Adam sinned and because we willfully pursue after such. When He tells us that we have a need, when He tells us that there is a judgment for our sin, when He tells us that He's provided a way of salvation and forgiveness of those sins, when He tells us that truth, then we can understand that we need Him, that we are alienated from Him, that we are responsible before Him. And so when it comes to the Lord, when he says to us and all of His ministry that's outlined here in the Gospels, what we need to know about it, when He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest," He means it. And we now know we need to come to Him. We need to come to Him because that knowledge of God, that truth of the Lord has been imparted unto us. But as it says in about our natural state in John chapter 3, the reason that men, women, boys, and girls don't want to come to the Lord is because of our sin. We love our sin the most rather than loving the way of the Lord. And we pray and we know that the Lord has to work to overcome that too. And He's able, and He does. He does. The Lord Jesus says here, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And that's in every respect. There's no qualifications about the burden. There's no qualifications about the labor. He will give rest. "Take my yoke upon you," and that's a coupling up with the Lord, His yoke rather than the yoke of the world, because naturally we are yoked up with the world. That's just our bent and our natural state. But He says, "Take my yoke upon you, couple up with me, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart," and that's the way Jesus came the first time, meek and lowly in heart. He is yet power under control, but I submit to you that He is no more lowly. He is high and exalted and lifted up, as is to be because of what He's accomplished. Praise be to His name. "For I am meek and lowly in heart," and that was as He walked on this earth, "and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Learn of Him to find rest. Learn of Him to understand about how He came and why He came to have rest. Not just rest, physical rest, but rest for the soul, for your soul, for your and my eternal soul. He says, "For my yoke is easy," implying that the yoke that we're coupled up with naturally with the world is not easy. Well, matter of fact, it leads to death, doesn't it? It ends in destruction. "My yoke is easy, and my burden, my cross to bear," I believe that that's what it's referring to, that cross, that burden of the directive of the Lord for His children. What we've been called to do is to follow after Christ, to walk with Christ, to be a testimony and witness of Him. He says, my burden is light. And the Scriptures do speak to us about all the things that we would suffer and go through as the children of God. They'll just be a faint, wisping memory when we're with the Lord. All right. And so here this morning, we want to just take here in verse number 29, where the Lord says, learn of me. When I think about this, and I reference this, and you know that I reference this often about learning about the Lord, I speak most and think most about learning about Him, learning about His way, learning about His person. And as the children of God, we do need to know about our Lord and His way, His person. And maybe this is summed up best, His example, the way He lived. Learn of me. So there is that aspect. And for me, that's where I focus on the most for the children of God, is to learn about how Jesus walked. What would Jesus do being in the situation that I am in? What would Jesus do with me facing this decision that I have? What would Jesus do? What's His example? But there is another aspect of this, learn of me, that we learn of the Lord and His teaching. He teaches us. And the Scripture, the word that is used to describe that is His doctrine. Okay? So learn of me, the Lord speaking and teaching us, delivering truths unto us. He certainly does so by His example in the life that He lived and lives, but the example that we have of Him walking upon this earth and the day of His life and ministry here, He is still alive. Don't get me wrong, okay? He is still alive. It's not that He was. He is, but He had that time. But we learn of Him and His doctrine. In this, the doctrine, the teaching of one, if you will, what he thinks about himself, because that's what it is, what he thinks and believes about himself and about you. Learn of me. Learn of me. And so that's what we want to take a look at this morning. I think a fine passage that helps us with this is Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we come here to verse number 38. This is a special family to the Lord. And we have this in Luke chapter 10. We'll go to verse number 38. Now it came to pass as they went, that is the Lord Jesus and His disciples, that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. So Jesus is received by Martha. Come over here and let me feed you. Come over here and let me provide for the washing of your feet, for the washing of your clothes, to take care of you and help you on your way. She was convicted. Her and her household was convicted to do that for the Lord and His own. And she had a sister called Mary, so Martha and Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving. She's trying to get things prepared food-wise. She's trying to get the table set. We think about this in our own culture, and their culture was a lot different, but nevertheless, she's trying to get it, making sure that everything's clean, make sure everything's in its right place, make sure that the food doesn't get burnt, gets cooked enough. Oh, is there going to be enough? She grabs maybe some of her family and says, run down here to the market and get some more of this. She's trying to get it. She wants it to be good. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Jesus and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Don't you care that Mary has left me doing everything here that needs to be. There's so much to do to make this good and right. Don't you care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her, tell her, because of that, therefore, that she helped me. Lord, don't you care that she's left me alone to do all of this? Tell her to come and help me. Martha, or the Lord says here, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So what is it that we see here? Martha, she wants to do well by the Lord and his disciples. She wants to do well, and there's nothing wrong with that. She wants to do her best. But her sister Mary has rather, as it says there in verse number 39, Mary sat at Jesus' feet. She not only sat at Jesus' feet, but she heard his word. And what is it that Jesus is telling and giving out with his word? It's his doctrine, isn't it? His teaching. What Jesus thinks about himself, what Jesus thinks and believes and thinks about God, and what Jesus thinks and believes about her and everybody else there, and you and me. That's what Jesus is teaching with his word. And that's where Mary is. Martha is worried about the day and the event and wanting to take care of everyone. But Mary is, she's concerned about what Jesus has to say. And you and I, we think we have our loved ones and those most dear to us. And in our culture, we just don't ever think about sitting at anyone's feet, hardly. Maybe you might have your family together, and because you've got a larger family, there's just not enough chairs, or the children prefer to sit on the floor or around the older ones sitting in the chairs or the furniture and that. And by virtue of, by default, they end up sitting at the feet of the elder and enjoying a good time. We all have those kind of things. That can happen. But from the standpoint of loving and honoring someone so, we just in our culture, we don't think about sitting at someone's feet. But here on this day, at this time, Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. And she's not there sitting at Jesus' feet doodling or working on some project or whatever. She's intently interested to hear what Jesus has to say. That's all that matters to Mary. She knows Martha is fixing the meal and trying to keep everything going, maybe washing some of the disciples of the Lord Jesus' clothes, all whatever it could be that could be being done. But Mary is interested in what Jesus has to say. What is it that he's going to tell us next? What is it that he's going to open up unto us? We think about those two on the road to Emmaus. How they said that their heart burned within them as the Lord Jesus opened up the scriptures to them. I think Mary's in that same kind of place. Jesus is opening things up and it's blessing her. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. What can one learn at the feet of Jesus? What can one learn? Well, we can learn who the Almighty God is, can't we? And we need to know who he is. We can learn about his attributes. We can learn about his power at Jesus' feet. We can learn about all this creation, his creation, how it all came about, sitting at Jesus' feet. We can learn about at Jesus' feet the age of this creation, His creation, sitting at Jesus' feet. We can learn about how to be a good child, how to be a good citizen, how to be a good worker, how to be a good spouse, how to be a good parent. We can learn from Him about how to be good and well as one of His creations to glorify Him. We can learn that at the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus, we can learn about how sin came into the world. It's very important for us to know about sin and how it came about. We can learn at the feet of Jesus how sin has so thoroughly corrupted every single human being that is descended from Adam, the first man. At the feet of Jesus, we can learn about what God thinks about sin and what God has, is, and will do regarding sin. At the feet of Jesus, we can learn about how God has worked in the individual lives of so many people. I mean, you think about the Bible. That's what we know about the Lord. How God, at the feet of Jesus, we can learn how God has worked in the individual lives of so many people, making promises to them and fulfilling them. We can learn that at the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus, we can learn what God does regarding kings and kingdoms and nations. At the feet of Jesus, we can learn what the judgments are that God has made. God has made judgments to make things very clear to us about how it should be amongst mankind and what should not be amongst mankind. At the feet of Jesus, we can learn about His warning to mankind, to you, of judgment to come for each and every individual, each and every one of us. We can learn that at the feet of Jesus. And at the feet of Jesus, we can learn the work that He has done by sending the Son, His Son, God's Son, to become a man and thereby a Savior for sinners. We can learn that at the feet of Jesus. Everything that we can learn at the feet of Jesus is essential and necessary for us to learn. We need it. And so this being the case, we understand why Mary wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear His words. It says there, she sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. There is another thing that we can learn and from this family. And we find that in John chapter 11. A very, very important thing, a most important thing. Jesus has received word that Lazarus, Martha and Mary's brother, is very ill. He delays in going to them. The disciples think that he should go immediately, but then Jesus says that he's okay. He's sleeping. They say, "Oh, okay. Well, he's resting. That's good." And Jesus tells them, "No, he's died." But Jesus is not alarmed. And then after a certain period of time, Jesus says, "Okay, let's go." And no doubt the disciples were wondering, why do we go now? And of course, they know that Jesus loves Martha and Mary and Lazarus. So certainly you would go to comfort them. We pick it up here in John chapter 11, verse number 17, as Jesus is arriving. And there is a threat of death upon the Lord Jesus Christ getting closer to Jerusalem. And so that's something that's on their minds, on the disciples' minds. And it says in verse 17 of John 11, "Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave." Lazarus had been in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, not too far. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother and their grief. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, a word came ahead that Jesus was on the way, went and met Jesus, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." And so that is their thinking and their knowledge, that if Jesus would have just got there in time, Lazarus wouldn't have died. But Martha does say, "But I know," verse 22, "that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Jesus saith unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Now, where did Martha learn that? From Jesus. Martha may have learned it from Mary. We know certainly that Mary learned it from Jesus. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Isn't that incredible? It's impossible. But through Jesus and by Jesus, it is possible. For one to be dead, yet live. And to learn here that Jesus himself, the man, the person, Jesus, he says he is the resurrection. "I am the resurrection." And resurrection means coming alive from the dead. I am the resurrection and the life. Not his church, not religious service, not the works of men, not a denomination, but Jesus. He's the resurrection and he is the life. And he says, he tells her and he tells us, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." We learn here that Jesus says he's got the power over death. That he can take death and reverse it. That he is the one that brings life. He is life himself. And this is just a confirmation of what Jesus declared in John chapter 5. That the Father had given unto him the ability to give life to whomsoever he will, just like the Father does. "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." If you're alive and you believe and you trust and you rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him through repentance of your sins and faith in him and his gospel, Jesus says you will never die. And he asks, "Believest thou this?" So once again, there's things to learn from Jesus, isn't there? All these things that I mentioned to you, and certainly that there's more facets that we could describe. But we find out here in this, a most important thing that we need to learn at the feet of Jesus is that He is life. He is life eternal. He is the resurrection unto life eternal. And those that believe in Him, receive Him, trust and rest in Him and what He has done, will never die. Then He asks this question to all of us. Believeth thou this? Do you believe it? Do you believe it for you? She saith unto Him, Yea, Lord, I believe that Thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. I believe that You're the Son of God. And I believe that You are the one which should come into the world. What was prophesied? You're the one. You are the one that has been prophesied about. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. Mary, He's asking for you. As soon as she heard that, Mary did. She arose quickly and came unto Jesus. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met Him, out of the town. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth into the grave to weep there. She's going to go to the grave to mourn. That's what they supposed. They didn't know what Martha had told Mary. And when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, you see what it says there? She fell down at His feet. Because there's more to learn at Jesus' feet. Mary was used to being at Jesus' feet to hear what He had to say, to learn from His words. She fell down at His feet, saying the same thing that her sister said, Lord, if Thou hast been here, my brother had not died. She's got a question. She's got grief. She knows of a fact that if Jesus would have been there before Lazarus died, he wouldn't have died. She knows that. But you know what? There's more to learn at Jesus' feet. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said to Mary, Where have you laid Him? They say unto Him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus Himself weeps. Then said the Jews, Behold how He loved Him. And I believe that, personally, I believe that's supposition on their part. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind had caused that even this man should have not have died? Couldn't he have kept them from dying? One that heals the blind from birth, couldn't he kept him from dying? Well, see, there's more to learn at the feet of Jesus. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in Himself, I think because of their thinking and such, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay on it, upon it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha has come with Mary. She's there, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. The decay is on the way, Lord. It's going to be terrible to do that, because he'd been dead for 4 days. Jesus saith unto Martha, unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe in me, that's the implication, thou shouldest see the glory of God? See, at the feet of Jesus, we need to learn that keeping our eyes focused upon Him and what He teaches and what He has given is the only way that we can see the glory of God. He said, Don't you remember me telling you that? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. So we learn this. If one never knew it before, we learn that the Father has sent the Son. We learn that the Son is always heard by the Father. And as the Scripture declares, the Lord Jesus declares, as in that passage, I believe in Matthew 11, where we started, that it's there that it says that the Father is only revealed to people by the Son of God. The Son knows the Father eternally, but the Father is only known to those to whom the Son will reveal Him. We find out that we need Jesus desperately in every way. I know that thou hearest me. I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Martha had declared that she believed that he was the Savior, the Son of God, that would be sent by the Father. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, we learn that he has the power over death. Even a man that is physically dead, he's got the power to raise him from the dead, to show that he can take souls, forgive sins, and raise them to life eternal, even after physical death. We're all going to face physical death. But will you face that second death? Jesus delivers from the second death. Loose him and let him go. There were many there that believed. And we pray that you, if you're not saved, that you would believe today. Back in Luke chapter 10, in verse number 41, Jesus answered and said to Martha, 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 thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. What is that one thing? Sitting at Jesus' feet. Hearing His word. That's what Jesus said. We do need to eat. And we do need to have our clothes clean. And we do need to have things straightened up in the course of life. But the one thing that is most needful is to sit at Jesus' feet and hear His words. Nothing else matters compared to that. Jesus says one thing is needful. He didn't say two, He didn't say three, He didn't say five. But He said one thing is needful. Jesus is near. And the one thing that is needful is what Mary has found, to sit at Jesus' feet and hear His word. And Mary hath chosen that good part. And sitting at Jesus' feet is needful, and it is the good part, hearing His words. Mary hath chosen that good part. That's the choice that Mary has made for the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. It's not going to be taken away from her. She's found the thing that is needful. She has found the good part. and it will not be taken away from her. From that, we can understand that sitting at Jesus' feet and learning from Him is the needful and good thing. And for those that find that, for those that avail themselves to that, for those that pursue and desire that, it will never be taken away from the one who does so. Learning at Jesus' feet. I pray that we can see, that you and I can see and understand the importance of that.